Blog Talk Radio.
Sally Nut, hard nut. Anybody here wanna buy my nut? Sally Nut, hard nut. I've got nuts to sell. Selling one for five, two for ten. If you buy 'em once, you'll buy 'em again. Selling nuts, hard nuts. You buy 'em from the peanut man. Nuts, hard nuts. Anybody here wanna buy my nuts? Selling nuts, hard nuts. I've got nuts for sale. They tell me your nuts is mighty fine, but I bet your nuts isn't hard as mine. Selling nuts, hard nuts. You buy 'em from the peanut man. Selling nuts, hard nuts. Anybody here wanna buy my nuts? Selling nuts, hard nuts. I've got nuts for sale. And they tell me your nuts is mighty small. Best to have small nuts than no nuts at all. Selling nuts, hard nuts. You buy 'em from the peanut man.
That is Little Johnson, our favorite Little Johnson. Hot nuts. Got 'em, you buy 'em. From the Peanut Man, I am Chris Block, and welcome to Puck Chatter Radio, the official online audio program of thethirdmanin.com, broadcasting live here tonight, as always, on blogtalkradio.com. Again, I'm Chris Block, writer and broadcaster over here. Superstar, I got to bring you in right away. How you doing?
I'm here, buddy. I'm here. How are you doing? Long time.
I know. When's the last time you did this with me?
The Chicago Blackhawks had not yet won the Stanley Cup, so that'll put it into perspective.
We got a lot to cover on the show tonight, and I'm not exactly sure what that is, to be totally honest with you, because what we're going to do tonight is we're going to answer listener and reader emails. So I guess I'll be surprised. We're just going to go into the inbox. I've set aside emails and stuff, but like we're just gonna go through them, and what they are is what they are. So this is pretty. We're walking a cliff, I think, tonight. But we're gonna do that here in a little. We'll do that here in a little bit. I'm gonna give this some thought, but I have, something to give away to our listeners. Right here. Actually, this isn't what they would get, but it's just like this. From Random House Publishing, kids, ladies and gents, boys and girls, the officially licensed publication of the 2013 Stanley Cup Championship, the year of the Chicago Blackhawks, published this fine-looking book here that details the Blackhawks' run to the 2013 Stanley Cup. Lots of pictures, player bios. Let's see here. A 40-year retrospective. I didn't realize this was in here. A 40-year history of the Chicago Blackhawks draft picks. There's a lot of stuff in
there. Right there.
It's like your summer media guide. There's a picture of Joan Rivers and Bernie Parent in here. I don't know what that's doing in here, but it's all in here. But yes, we are. It's a quality program. It's a book, 140 pages. It's available on newsstands now from Random House Publishing, both in the United States and Canada. I was over at the City newsstand the other day, and I saw it. But we're going to give it away. I don't know how I want to give it away yet. Do you have any suggestions, Superstar?
Oh, you know, you could say best email, but that's, you know, that's a little too easy.
And also work for me.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to make you a little more difficult for you. Yeah, it's a little more difficult for you.
I'm working 70 hours a week as it is. I don't need any more work. Maybe we're just having someone call in, like the first person to call in. I don't know. I shouldn't say these things out loud.
Yeah, don't say that.
I don't even know that. I don't even think that would be fair. I didn't even promote the show, so I don't. If people are listening, then they're really needing audio. They're listening to this live, anyhow. There's an automated like Twitter thing that like tells people that there's going to be a show, but I personally haven't been on Twitter in, I don't know how. I think it was Saturday. It was the day. We should talk about Pearl Jam. You did not go to the concert with me on Saturday, Superstar.
I did not. Well, it was Friday.
It wasn't Saturday. It was Friday. I don't know. Whatever. It did end on Saturday.
Yeah, you were partially right.
Pearl Jam occupied Wrigley Field there on Friday night in the Lakeview neighborhood. Would that be Lakeview North? There's Lakeview East. Like Lakeview is so uptighty that they have sections of their own neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, I saw a video one time, and it said Wrigleyville is a sub-neighborhood of Lakeview.
You know, there's no such thing, at least I don't know. Maybe someone could call in and correct me, or write me and correct me, but I don't think there's such thing as Ukrainian Village North.
No.
Is there Hyde Park South?
I don't know.
These are neighborhoods in Chicago for the people listening in Stockholm, Sweden. But
you can say you're on the north end of Hyde Park, but I don't think they necessarily call it North Hyde Park.
Anyway, so I was I'm standing there, you know, I'm in the pit, you know, at the on the field at Pearl Jam on Friday night, and I'm standing there, I'm minding my own business. And I'm looking next to me, Superstar, and I'm looking at this dude, and I'm like, who the hell is this guy? I know him from somewhere. You know, I do this all the time. I always remember faces. I never remember a name. I'm the worst with names. And I'm looking at this guy, and I keep looking, and I almost asked the guy standing next to me. I go, who the hell is this guy? I'm glad I didn't, because just as I thought that, I overheard someone say this person's name. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know? And it was Carrie Wood. I was standing right next to Carrie Wood. Superstar, I know that his wife is a health nut, but I don't know what Carrie Wood's deal is. Most people, when they retire, they put on weight. Carrie Wood has shrunk. I mean, he was, just looking at him, like he's very tan. At least he was red. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe he'd been somewhere. But he's very red. And he's so skinny, and he's aging. And I swear to God, Superstar, when I first tried to figure out who it was, and I'm like, I think I got it, I thought he was Randy Johnson, the big unit. He looked just like Randy Johnson. I'm like, is that Randy Johnson? I go, no, Randy Johnson's got to be taller than that. And it was fucking Gary Wood.
That is crazy. Well, he obviously knows his way around the ballpark, so. I'm a little surprised you didn't have a little better accommodations, you know, being Carrie Wood at Wrigley Field than sitting next to you.
Well, we weren't sitting. We were standing, like in it was a VIP area, but it was just the general admission pit, you know. But yeah, I mean, we were standing there, and then we get kicked off. For people that don't know, Pearl Jam held its first ever concert at Wrigley Field, which is something that they had planned on doing every summer, or at least next summer as well. I don't know if that – we'll see if that happens. But weather, got in the way. And this it wasn't a surprise. I mean, all week long, I think that people were forecasting, or you know, people that do that, were forecasting that there was going to be rain and all sorts of bad weather on Friday night. So they evacuate the field, and we have to go and like Eddie, Pearl Jam comes on. The Pearl Jam comes on. They do 7 songs, and then they huddle up and they're talking. And all of a sudden, Eddie Vedder's like, you know, there's a storm coming, and it's going to be nasty or whatever he said. And I mean, I knew all this was coming. Actually, I'll tell you, because I know that there are people that were mad. I mean, it was just kind of somewhat controversial. People were pissed off that Pearl Jam stopped playing. I mean, they were off. They suspended the concert for like almost like 2 hours and 45 minutes, basically. And then they came back and they started playing again at 12:45, and they didn't stop until just after two o'clock in the morning in Wrigley Field, you know, which residential neighborhood. I mean, you wouldn't think that they'd be able to do that. And a lot of people were shocked, but I'll explain to you how they were able to do it. A couple of days before the show, it was kind of surprising. Within like a half hour of each other, I got a text and I got a phone call. And I first got a text, and it was this person that I know that was calling on behalf of someone else's, you know, saying, you know, are you interested in working security for the Pearl Jam concert on Friday night? I said, well, actually, I'm going to the concert on Friday night, so I don't want. And then like half hour later, I get a phone call, and I actually answered my phone, which I never do. it was this person who works, you know, sort of affiliated with the band, and they asked the same question: "Do you want to do, you know?" And I stopped. I said, "Wait a minute." I go, "This is the second, inquiry in the last half hour." I go, "What's going on? Why is someone? I'm not a security person. I don't bounce at bars. I just know people. So like, why, you know, that's obviously why I'm getting the call. So like, but why me? You know, like what why aren't we getting off duty Chicago policemen, or like why is it trickling down to me?" And this person, you know, works on behalf of the band, said, "Well, basically the deal was," and this will kind of give you an idea of what was going on there at Wrigley Field on Friday night. They said to me, "Well, they're anticipating bad weather, and they're anticipating that they're going to have to clear, you know, potentially if they have to clear the field, that because Wrigley Field's so small that all these people are going to be crammed together," which is exactly what happened. "And there's going to be people that are going to be bitching and moaning and wanting to get out, you know, like, you know, just let us out and then let us back in, you know, whenever." And they absolutely didn't want to do that because it would create, as you could imagine, it would create chaos. And, you know, potentially people sneaking back in, or people getting, you know, that weren't originally in the venue being handed tickets and getting in, trying to, you know, causing trouble or whatever. So they didn't want that. So what they were looking for was extra security just to deal with all the people that were, going to be, you know, asking things like that, and for other reasons too. But so they asked me, and there's no way I would have done it to begin with, because it was the job was from 3 until midnight, and it was $10 an hour. I'm like, I'm not doing that. You know, if I didn't have a ticket, I don't know, but as it was, I mean, it was supposed to be from 3 until midnight, and it wound up being a 3 until 3 gig. Because, I mean, everybody that was working the concert at Wrigley Field ended up staying until, well, I mean, some of the vendors got to go, but security was there till 3 in the morning. So it would end up being a 12-hour deal. So I'm glad I had a ticket, and I didn't even have to think about it. But So the concert starts, and when the concert starts, we already know, because, you know, who we were with, we already knew that Pearl Jam was expecting that they'd, you know, that they'd have to play, the actual thought was they were going to play 8 songs. And they were going to play 7 songs, and then the 8th song would come, and the 8th song was going to be this song that Eddie Vedder wrote for the Cubs, which is called All the Way or whatever. and he was going to bring out Ernie Banks, and they would do that, and then they'd maybe try to sneak another song in, or they would, that at that point, you know, because, I mean, they had weather people explaining to them and projecting exactly when the thing, I mean, nothing, they weren't caught off by surprise at all, and I, you know, you could criticize them for not going on earlier, but, you know, whatever, they weren't going to go on at 7:30. When the ticket said, no band ever goes on when the ticket says, you know, only opening bands do. And it'd be totally, you know, if you were there at 7:30, you know, I don't even think 75% of the people were even in their seats at 7:30. But anyway, so he ends up quitting after seven songs, and they don't get to Ernie Banks. Well, I don't know how it happened, but they got Ernie Banks to stay until 11:45, until he finally brought him on stage and did that. But anyway, so the controversy superstar, and everybody was pissed off, was because, like, no one knew what the hell was going on at the show, right? It's not like you know, every half an hour or an hour, it's like, you know, this is, you know, it's not like when you're at the airport and your plane's delayed and they, you know, they come on or they update the board and say, this is now when we're expecting, you know, to you know, estimated boarding times. There was nothing like that. And the first storm comes and passes through, and it's actually a pretty good storm. But then there was a second storm that was going to come through, and it actually missed Wrigley Field by like a mile. But, you know, there wasn't any rain. There wasn't any storms. And people were all pissed off because they're like, there's no rain. There's nothing. And they're not coming out, and they're not playing. And everybody's all mad. It's like, wait a minute. If you're a Pearl Jam fan, or if you even have a limited understanding of their history, you know that people have died at Pearl Jam, you know, and to no fault of the band's own, that people have died at their concerts before, rushing the stage and stuff like that. And, I mean, they're sensitive to stuff like that. So, of course, that they're going to stay off until, you know, the danger passes. Now, I knew at 8 o'clock, so this was before the band even came on, that the city had waived the curfew until 2 a.m. Now, typical Wrigley Field curfew is at 11, but they had waived it till 2. And a lot of the controversy here is, like, if you were coming, like, superstar from where you are in the suburbs, and, you know, you take the Metro, right? Well, when's the last Metro go out of Union Station?
Generally, like my line, it's 12:40, which incidentally I was on.
Okay, so if you're at the concert, I can understand that if you bought a ticket to the show and, you know, it doesn't, there's a rain, you know, there's a weather delay, it doesn't go off, and the band comes back on at 11:45, and you're like, you know, we got to get out of here because we got to catch our last train, and you're just not someone that's going to, you know, stick around and then sit at Union Station until whenever the first train is, 6 o'clock or whatever that is. I don't know. And I understand that. But all these, there was a lot of people that I experienced around me that were angry, and it's like, don't you, like, there's an inherent risk. I wonder how many of these people have ever gone to a concert outdoors. There's an inherent risk that you assume when you buy a ticket to an outdoor show. You know, there's weather, you know. I mean, things happen. You know, I mean, if you have kids and you got a babysitter and you got tickets to go to the show, and there's a weather delay and your babysitter has to leave at midnight, you got to go home. Well, I mean, that's the brakes. It sucks. You know, I sympathize with you, but it sucks, you know, but that's the way it is. But I think the controversy was, and this, I'll explain this to you. I don't even know why I'm doing this, but I was just talking to somebody about this like 15 minutes ago. The controversy was, why did they not postpone the show until Sunday, because there was some country doofus there on Saturday, and Kelly Clarkson, they had a show there on Saturday, because it wasn't like you could just slide the show till Saturday. And it was like, well, you know, the question was, and the people actually at the show were wondering, well, I wonder if they just rescheduled till Sunday, because the Cubs were on the road all this week, so it wasn't like, you know, you had to prepare the field for a Cubs game on Monday. Well, the reason was, and the reason why the city moved the curfew back to 2 a.m. is what, you know, I don't know that people understand is, of the 40-some-odd thousand people that were at that show on Friday night, essentially half of them were from out of town. So you're talking about the city of Chicago understands that basically 20,000 people, and it may, that number may be low, because the reason why the Pearl Jam was the fastest selling concert in the history of, you know, the 10 concerts at Wrigley Field is because the Pearl Jam fan club had the first stab at them. And you had people coming from all over the world to see the show. So by the time it went on sale to the public, there was not a lot of tickets left, very few. So you had people that were going home on Saturday and Sunday, traveling back home on Saturday and Sunday. So if you reschedule the show for Sunday, I mean, how many of those 20,000 out of town people are going to be able to stay? You know, I mean, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But that's the reason why they extended the curfew till 2. Now, the reason why, and this is they should have made some kind of announcement. People on Twitter and stuff, Pearl Jam was updating, saying that, you know, Eddie Vedder, before he left the stage, is like, no matter what, we're going to come back and play. But that was really the only announcement that was made. But Pearl Jam on Twitter, I guess, I didn't have my phone with me on Friday, but because I knew it was going to rain. I didn't know if we'd be standing in the rain or what, so I didn't bring my phone with me. But they never made an announcement in the building to say, well, you know, the curfew's been lifted or anything. But the reason why they did that, the city told Pearl Jam not to announce that they could play till 2 because they didn't want word getting around the neighborhood that concert was going on till 2. The theory there was if you let people know that the neighborhood, you know, people in the neighborhood that are inclined to bitch and moan about that would, in fact, bitch and moan about that and create a big, you know. But if they didn't know, and all, you know, they're just sitting there and they're, wow, the Pearl Jam's still playing, and they're looking at their clock, it's like 1 o'clock. It's like, you know, I mean, maybe some people fall asleep, maybe people don't care, but, you know, but that was the reason why they didn't announce. The Pearl Jam was just like, well, we intend to play. It's 11 o'clock, and they're like, we intend to play a full show tonight. And people are like, what the fuck? How are they going to do that? Well, they were telling you that they were sticking around, they were going to play, but they couldn't tell you because they were advised not to say that the curfew had been lifted till 2, even though it had been lifted. The curfew had been lifted long before that concert started. And part of the reason is because Rahm Emanuel's brother, Ari, sits on the board of Live Nation, and Live Nation was running that show. So, Rahm Emanuel's brother, for people that don't know, the Jeremy Piven character on Entourage was somewhat modeled after Rahm Emanuel's brother, Ari. Not totally, because there's bits and pieces taken from that Ari character on Entourage is like kind of a composite, but the base of it was Rahm Emanuel's brother.
Well,
it was a great show.
I heard it was a great show. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned, you know, you take that risk when you go to an outdoor show, whether it's a concert, you know, a baseball game, a football, you know, any sort of outdoor event, you take that risk by buying that ticket. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Pearl Jam play a show at Alpine Valley early 2000s or even maybe late 90s that was, you know, 30 degrees or 40 degrees.
Yeah. I was there because I remember that because at that time I was still in pro wrestling, and the Alpine show was on Sunday night, and on Monday they were playing Allstate Arena, which I'm pretty sure at the time was called Allstate. Yeah, it was called Allstate Arena at the time. That would have been in 2000. It was the fall of 2000. And yeah, I was at the Alpine show. That was weird. We were probably, I want to say 13 rows up on the right, so Stone Gossard side, and like the whole band is just they're like in, you know, winter coats and gloves with their, you know, their fingers cut out. And it was an experience, but not something that I'd ever want to do again.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But yeah, I mean, I saw people like complaining, you know, I heard that some people left or whatever, but you know what? Very few people left, you know. I mean, it was a long night, and it was a hot night, a muggy night, you know, and for sure. Pearl Jam, I thought, played great. And I think that they did what they had to do. They knew that they were going to have to stop, so they didn't want to get the crowd too riled up, so they played, like, slow songs. You know, all the songs they played before the break were slow tempo. But they knew that they were going to have to break, so that's why they did that. And, you know, but if, like, very few people left. And if you're someone who left, it's like 40,000 other people didn't leave. So if you left, then you're the dumb shit, you know? Like, you think you're smarter than everybody else. So you're like, oh, you know, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to be traffic. And then when Pearl Jam comes back on stage, then you're, you know, you're all pissed off. It's like, you know. That's your own damn fault. But anyway, that was Pearl Jam on Friday. Is that all you have to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, from somebody who wasn't there or even in the Wrigleyville area, you know, I agree. You leave, you're a dumbass.
I had no idea that this was this coming weekend was the Blackhawks convention.
Yeah,
I just brought
that,
up. I just brought up the Blackhawks website, and apparently the Blackhawks fan convention is this weekend.
It is. I saw something online. I forgot what website it was. It wasn't the Blackhawks. It might have been a Tribune site, and they announced the attendees for this year. I didn't even bother looking at it because. I'm not going, so it, you know, I don't care who's going to be there.
So, well, I'll go through it right now. For, I mean, you know, the current players are going to be there, obviously. Although, let's say, okay, well, let's run through them. What the hell we got to do, right? It's July 23rd or whatever. Taves, Kane, Sharp, Keith, Crawford, Bickle, Letty, Saad, Ben Smith, Shaw, Bolig, Hayes, Hanzus, Roosevelt, Sheldon Brookbank, Ryan Stanton, Adam Clendenning, Brandon Peary, and Ryan Hartman, the first-round draft pick. Now, the alumni, Bobby Hull, Tony Esposito, Stan Mikita, Pierre Palat, Dennis Savard, Steve Larmer. We got a question about him. I know we got a question about him in there somewhere. I'll have to find it. Steve Larmer, Eddie Olczyk, Troy Murray, Eric Nestorenko, Cliff Coral, Phil Russell, Eric Daze, why not? You know what? Go to ChicagoBlackhawks.com and pull up this page. Eric Daze looks like Ronnie Shirley from Lizard Lick-Towing.
That's not a good look.
I swear to God. Everybody go to ChicagoBlackhawks.com right now and look at the convention attendees. Look at this picture of Eric Daze and tell me he's not the slimmer fitted older brother of Lizard Lick-Towing's Ronnie Shirley. Stu Grimson, Ab McDonald, John Marks, Keith Brown is going to make an appearance. Murray Bannerman, Darren Pang, Wayne Pressley, Grant Mulvey. So maybe somebody can ask him why when he was the Wolves GM he traded Sean Rivers. Bill White, and Darcy Rota. All that and more at the Hilton Chicago this weekend. We won't be there. I'm so excited, Superstar, because I don't know if – I think you know this. Rutu's been real banged up of late, my dog.
You had mentioned something, but you didn't give me a lot of details.
Yeah, yeah. My little baby boy, Rutu, is for, you know, to kind of tell the story. He's a Maltese poodle. He's 7 pounds. He kind of fell into my lap a few years ago, actually, when he was 2 months old. So a little bit more than 3 years ago. And he's been my little dog ever since. And actually, game two of the finals, I want to say, yeah. Game two of the finals. No. What am I talking about? Game five of the Stanley Cup Finals, I come home after the game, right? And I met you out later on that night. But game five of the finals, I come home after the game. And he's acting weird, you know, and he's like sort of, you know, the next day I'm looking at him and he's walking weird. You know, he's limping around. I'm like, maybe he's got a pulled muscle. Well, long story short, a couple days later, we go to the vet because he's really having a hard time getting around, and I'm like picking him up and carrying him everywhere. He doesn't want to walk. We go to the vet. He's got a ruptured disc in his back and spinal trauma. A 7-pound dog, you know. So ever since, actually, the night before the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup, from that night till now, every day, every night, I've been sleeping on the floor next to my dog because he can't get on the bed. I don't want him trying to get on the bed. You know, he'll cry and stuff like that. And so I just sleep on, you know, because he likes to sleep up against, you know, up next, you know, next to me. So I've just been sleeping on the floor in the living room for the past month. And he's better. I mean, he's getting better, but he still can't. I mean, he's limited. You know, limited. He just started doing, actually this morning, doing a little. When we went outside, he did a little kind of light jogging, very light jogging, when he was moving around. But yeah, he hasn't been himself lately, and it's been, you know, I had to carry him around, I had to help him shit and stuff. The first few days, you know, it's that, you know.
Well, you know, it's almost good. It's almost good that Rutu, and I assume 98% of our listeners have never met Rutu. Rutu's a very active dog. He's always running around. So, you know, you don't have a English bulldog that, you know, would be limping around. You're like, well, he's just a fat English bulldog. That's what they do. You know, so it was probably really good that you have such an active dog, so it was so easy for you to see that something was going on. So,
yeah, I mean, he's always running around, jumping and all that, and I don't know how it happened. The vet seems to think that, you know, maybe he was running or trying to climb on something and he fell and he hit his back on something, like maybe, you know, the back of the end table or entertainment center or something. Or, you know, maybe he jumped out of bed and he slipped on the hardwood floors or something. Don't know, but, yeah, he's always running around, jumping, walking around on his hind legs, shaking his junk at everybody. And so, yeah, it's like he went from being like this, you know, a little puppy to an old man and, you know, a snap of a finger. So, but he's doing a little bit better.
That's good. Obviously, we all hope that continues to get better. You need that little guy running around a little more.
We're going to get to the email bag in a minute. Do you have any ideas? Should we just open up the phone lines? Let's just do that. If anybody's listening to this, I'm curious now. I'm curious that if I don't promote this show at all, if people still listen live. I know they do because I see the stats. But I wonder if one of them has the courage to call in right now and win a book. Now, I should say this. This book, the book that will be sent to you, if you are the winner, it's going to be the publishing company, excuse me, is going to send it to you, and they can only ship it to the United States or Canada. So if you live outside of North America, you're not eligible, or if you live in Mexico. But who gives a fuck about Mexico? So if you live in the United States or Canada, you're eligible. So if you want the book, call. I should give out the number.
That was... well, no, before you do this, before you give out the number, are you really sure you want to do this?
I know. The last time I gave out the number, like, people called up and started asking Bears questions. I don't know anything about anything other than hockey, right? Oh, superstar. I was having lunch yesterday. I want to know if you know this. I'm curious. I was having lunch yesterday at 312, and the person that I was having lunch with goes, you know, in the interest of moving this along, superstar, did you know that Barry Manilow is supposedly gay?
I did not know that, but it's not exactly a life first shattering development.
When I was 8 years old, superstar, and it was in Hickory Hills, Illinois, I was in an office complex. I'll remember this like it was yesterday. I may have been nine, but I was in an elevator in Hickory Hills, Illinois, and this heavyset black woman looked at me, you know, and I was looking all sharp, you know, like I had my long hair, you know, and it was flowing. I was looking all sharp.
Well, you were nine. You were probably leaving your lawyer's office.
I probably was leaving a lawyer's office, yes. That's a good bet. Anyway, this black woman, heavyset black woman, sweet-looking lady, looks at me. She goes, "You're so pretty. You should have been a little girl." And then she mentioned that I looked just like Barry Manilow. I grew up to be a big, oversized, gay Barry Manilow. Even though I'm not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with
it.
I don't want Patrick Burke to jump off his high horse and email me.
Yeah, right before you give out the phone
number.
Don't
get me started on that you can play garbage.
You know, every time Barry Manilow is mentioned, and I think it's just the, you know, my age and in the time I grew up, I always think of Night Court. And I don't know if you ever watched Night Court growing up, but the judge, I believe it was Harry T. Stone, was a huge Barry Manilow fan.
Who was the big bald security guy? What was his name again?
I want to say, was it Bull?
I wouldn't be surprised if he was gay. Not that this has anything to do with anything. Where did we even come from? Where did I start? where did I start, bro?
Having lunch at 312.
No, it was before that.
The elevator with the black woman?
No, that was after that. Come on, superstar.
We went from you having lunch at 312 to you asking me if Barry Manilow was gay. To Night Court, we've over skipped our stop by a few. Something I know all too well.
I am so I don't. We're going on a trip, superstar. Me and you this weekend. And I don't really want to talk about the details. We'll talk about it when we get back. But I'm telling you right now, I'm bringing one of my plasma TVs. Because you know how I have the power converters in the back of my car.
Yeah,
I was talking to I went and got my car tuned up today, and I went to get to the mechanic and mechanic. You know, he and I were talking because I brought it there in the morning, and then they didn't have a service. This is one I don't know. Have you seen the things in the news in the Chicago news lately about these Citgo gas stations that? The owner of these stations got busted for hiding. It was basically tax evasion, and there was other stuff that wasn't written in the articles that made it in the newspaper, but money laundering and other stuff. But basically, they hit him on hiding revenue income, so he didn't have to pay taxes. He was sending it to some offshore account in Jordan. Well, anyway, this guy is caught up in. He's like an innocent bystander to this thing. So he's at his deal is at a gas station that is now shut down because of this idiot that got arrested and sentenced to however many years in jail he got sentenced to. Anyway, it's in the news. But anyway, so I go and I get my car tuned up. I get the air conditioning refilled because I know how much you need your air conditioning. And then he goes, oh, don't worry about it, no charge. I'm like, what do you mean no charge? But so I start talking to him about all this. It's superstar. It pays to be the host of a hit internet radio show.
It must.
Apparently. And so I started talking about, but I was telling him, I'm like, yeah, I'm going on this trip, I'm gonna bring one of the big Sony plasmas, and we're gonna set it up in the back of my truck. And we're going to play PlayStation this weekend while we travel.
Yes. While we travel.
Or Sega Genesis. Dude, when I was – oh, God. We're never going to get to the email. This is like every other show where we never get to the email. We are. It's sitting right here. I swear to God. We'll do it right after this.
But email is now, the circumsock joke.
I haven't talked to you in for so long.
I know.
All I've been doing is working and working and working, and I go out and I have fun, and I drink, and do other stuff. and now I have a chance to talk to you. This would be 16 years ago now, 17 years ago now, I guess. When I ran a hockey rink, one of the hockey rinks that I ran, after, like, you know, I work there all night, and then you close down, and then after, I think you even probably were there for this. After we would close down, I would go and I would take, because this was when the Sega Genesis era, right? And this could be topical because of EA Sports' NHL 14 game is going to have the NHL 94 throwback element to it.
That looks awesome. By the way,
yeah, it's like current day graphic. Well, current day like motion graphics with the, the NHL 94 ambiance. Although, if anybody listen, for those of you being particular about your NHL Sega Genesis history, when someone tries to say make Roenick's head bleed, that's not NHL 94. That's NHL 93, and set that person straight if they ever try to tell you that. Anyway. So I would take the Sega Genesis. This is after everybody goes, and this is the so much of a loser I was, right, superstar. But I was so awesome because I would take Sega Genesis and I would hook it up to the arena sound system, and then we would take a table and we'd bring it out to center ice, and we would hook up a TV and run an extension, long extension cord, and we would play PlayStation at center ice, Sega Genesis, NHL. At NHL 9, it was NHL 97, I remember this. We would play Sega Genesis NHL 97 center ice hooked up to the arena sound system at 3 in the morning in an empty arena. It was awesome.
The sad thing is, yeah, I remember doing that with you a few times. And, yeah, it was pretty epic.
We ruled when we were younger.
At 3 in the morning with nobody around.
Now we're just old and gassy.
Yeah, and forgetful.
Speaking of gassy, I let one rip in the bathroom the other day. I thought I was alone in my work restroom. I thought I was alone. I wasn't alone, superstar. I hate that. Everybody at some time must have done that, right?
Oh, I can't even talk about it. I was sitting at my desk, and I sit on the end of the row. And there's like a cubicle wall next to me, but nobody's there. Like, I'm on the ends, which is just a walkway. So I'm sitting there, and I was like, oh, God, oh, God. And I let one go, and it was awful. It was so bad. Sure shit, 2 minutes, not even 20 seconds later, my buddy comes up, and he's standing there, and I'm smelling this. And I'm like, oh, God, he's going to smell this. He's going to smell this. Then I just looked at him. I go, you fucking asshole, you just ripped ass. He's like, I did not, and then he walked away.
See, this is what happens when you have to do radio in the off season.
Yeah, it was
I mean, no one's making us do this, but, you know. All right. After that, if anybody's still listening, you deserve a book. So if you want this book here, The Year of the Chicago Blackhawks, 136 pages, all in color, detailing and whatever, the Blackhawks and Stanley Cup and all that stuff, 347-857-3781. And I got the switchboard right in front of me tonight, so I probably won't miss your call if you do call. If anybody's still listening to this, you deserve a book. If you live in Canada or the United States, don't call me if you live in Norway. Unless you're a really good-looking woman that is willing to move to the United States.
Why don't you do the listener's favor? Read that number back and do it a little slower so people have time to actually remember it.
Eight.
Yeah.
I don't even know the number. I've given out the number once in the last 15 months. 347-857-3781. I don't even know if it's the switchboard's changed since last time we took calls. I don't even know if I know how to do it. I wanted to be off before 9 o'clock tonight because Suits is going to come on, and Suits was a disaster last week, so I'm giving it one more chance.
Yeah, I was with you. I didn't particularly care for it, but I think you got to give it a little more. You can't just abandon ship after the first episode of the season, even though the first episode of an anticipated season premiere should have a little more gusto than it did. You got to give it a little more time.
All right, we're gonna dip into the email bag. Which, for those of you that don't know, is, in fact, chrisblock@thethirdmanin.com. chrisblock@thethirdmanin.com or puckchatter@gmail.com. Either one of those two, puckchatter@gmail.com or chrisblock@thethirdmanin.com, because it's summertime and we need something to talk about. So email us. And we will answer your questions like we are doing starting now. All right. Hey, Chris, love your show. I listen all the time at the office. It's especially funny when Superstar is trying to say something and you interrupt and talk right over him. That doesn't happen.
No, never, never. It comes with the territory, and after many years of doing this with you, I've just, I don't even bother fighting it anymore.
It doesn't, to be fair and for the record, it doesn't just happen on the show. It happens at the bar. It happens in the car when we're traveling. It happens at the casino in Vegas. Pick a place and it happens.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely, after 20-some years, it's definitely something I've become used to.
Here's this question. If the second line center is indeed a competition between the two young kids, as you say, who do you predict will win that spot, Brandon Peary or Drew LeBlanc? My gut instinct would say Drew LeBlanc, just because of what I hear. I think he's got the inside track, but I think Brandon Peary is going to be given the opportunity in training camp. I wouldn't say to lose it, but I don't know. I may fall victim to have just watched too much Brandon Peary and not enough Drew LeBlanc and maybe jumping to conclusions, but I don't know. It really depends on how Brandon Peary's summer goes, because if Brandon Peary does in fact stay in Chicago I know he's here right now, or at least he was supposed to be here. Yes, well, whatever. But you know, if he does do as he plans, I mean, he could make improvements and stuff. And you know, the thing about it is, if that second line is going to have Marian Hossa on it, and you know, I guess the you know what they're saying now is that Hossa will be ready for the start of the season, but if Marian Hossa is on that line, I think Brandon Peary is a perfect. I wouldn't say perfect, but if he makes improvements, I think he's a really good complement to Marian Hossa and Patrick Sharp, because I mean those guys are going to bring the speed in the north-south game to that line, and Brandon Peary can, you know, he can make those nice short passes to spring those guys, and if he could just be a little bit more aware and you know about where he is on the ice and all that, it's just. I don't know. I think Drew LeBlanc, and the little that I've seen of him, read of him, heard other people talk about him, I think that, you know, it's going to be close. And if I had to say one or the other, I would say it's going to be LeBlanc. But we'll see. Chris, has any Ice Hawks player or coach confronted you about something you've said or written about the team? You've been pretty critical of Kyle Beach in the past, not so much now. I was wondering if Beach knew some of the criticisms and rants you've made on him in the past, or if something was said to you by anyone in the organization about those. He continues on. It is not my intention to be critical of you. If only I find it interesting that you've gone from being highly critical of Beach from even before he turned pro to now seemingly defending Beach, even though we've watched just about every other prospect within the organization surpass this former first-round number one draft pick. And he goes on to say, has anybody confronted me about anything I've said or written? Well, yeah. not Kyle, though. I mean, does Kyle know? Yeah, in fact, and you know, the very first time that I talked to Kyle, that I interviewed him, in the course of that interview, I we were recording. In the course of that interview, I told him, I said, you know, there's, you know, I asked him basically the question. I don't remember how I worded it, but I'd have to go back and listen to it, but. You know, I basically said, you know, there's Kane and Taves, you know, being number one draft picks that have made the leap so quickly and adapted so well. There's people that, you know, talk about you now as the follow up pick to those guys and wondering, you know, where you're at. And you've made, you know, you've, you know, been kind of around some controversies. A lot of people have been critical of you. And I said to him, I said, to be perfectly, you know, forthright, I go, I'm one of those people that have criticized you and some of the things that you've done. So, I mean, I in the interest of being transparent, I was very upfront with him at that, you know, that time. And I told him that. So is Kyle aware that, you know, I've, you know, probably said some things about him that, you know, it's just observations, but, as far as me being critical about him before, you know, of him before and not so much, I don't know that I'm not critical of him now. I think, to be fair to Kyle, I think that if he is going to be here one more year, this is his last shot. I mean, this is it. And, you know, quite frankly, I think we talked about this a week or so ago. In life, especially in entertainment and sports, people build you up to break you down. That's just the way it is. And if Kyle Beach isn't going to be someone that the Blackhawks can count on, then everyone's going to want to pile on him, and you know, they can't wait for the day that they're able to say this guy's a bust. He's all the things that they'll say. And there was, you know, because we have another question here, I'll just merge the two. But the question is basically, why would the Blackhawks bother qualifying and re-signing Kyle Beach if you know, and I talked about this before. Kyle Beach is this actually now I remember with Brad Gardner last week, and I should say we got a lot of favorable reaction to that show with Brad Gardner. HockeysFuture.com also writes for the website, so I want to thank everybody for that and thank Brad because we were talking about the prospect camp for the majority of that show, and I didn't go to the prospect camp at all. So credit goes to Brad there. But why would they sign him? It's because Kyle Beach is a former first-round draft pick, and that's an asset to the organization. If you know, it's you know, again, damned if you do, you damned if you don't. If Sam Bowman just lets Kyle Beach go, then all the vultures are gonna swoop in and say, like, you know, how could you just, you know, let a guy like that, you know, a first-round draft pick walk and not get anything for him? And you know, Sam Bowman would be criticized for not trading him before. And you know, it's like Stan hasn't tried to trade Kyle Beach before. I mean, I'm sure I could tell you that he has. But you know, I mean, sometimes the right deal isn't there. You know, or sometimes you think that something might develop and there's a team out there that is interested in him, and then you know, but they're only interested in him as a throw-in. You know, as a you know, kind of a supporting player in a bigger deal. And then that thing doesn't happen, and then, you know, but, you know, I, you know, the thing with Kyle is if he could just focus on being in the play and being effective in the play as opposed to behind it, and he's got to improve his skating. But, you know, he didn't have a good rookie year. His second year was completely obliterated by shoulder surgery. And, you know, I think he's just a guy that doesn't really understand what he needs to be. I think he knows what he wants to be and what, you know, I think he thinks he wants to be an agitator type, but for whatever reason, he hasn't been able to put it all together. And it's mostly mental. But, yeah, I mean, Kyle's probably, I would say he's the best guy as far as being able to, with the media, Kyle's probably the best guy in Rockford or has been up to this point. I mean, there's other guys that are pretty good. There's guys that'll stand there and talk to you and you can ask pretty much anything. But, you know, Kyle doesn't mind talking. I mean, he likes talking. He likes that, but. You know, he's not a bad guy. I know that there's been years and teammates that don't like him, but you know, I wouldn't consider him a cancer or anything, but I have heard that there's been teammates who didn't like him, but I think a lot of that was from the impression that he made when he, you know, his first two, when he came in from juniors at the end of his junior season. I mean, he made some bad impressions on people, both players and fellow prospects and people within the organization, that obviously he can't take back and whatever. Let's see, next question. Jeez. Since the Blackhawks don't grant bloggers access and have a general negative attitude towards sites such as yours, the Committed Indian and Second City Hockey, yet you're credentialed in Rockford, what do the Blackhawks think of your site? I don't know. I guess that depends on who you ask. you know, all I can say is that the people that I interact with, I get along with really well. You know, and there are, you know, for the most part, and I can say this, that negative attitude towards, you know, sites like mine or the Committed Indian and you know, the other sites, Cheer the Anthem and everything else that's out there. Hockey Night, don't want to forget my guys at Hockey Night. That comes from John McDonough and Al McIsaac. It doesn't come from Hockey Ops And I'm sure that there's some in hockey ops that, you know, could care less, some that, but that attitude comes from the top, and then, you know, I mean, there's certain other people there that, you know, whatever. But, I mean, the people that I interact with, I've never had a problem with. You know, the people that don't interact with me are probably the people that don't care for me. So, and that's fine. But, no, I've never really had any kind of issues with anybody, or except that one time with Teddy. But we talked about that with Ted, you know. I know I talked about that before on the show, but let's see here. Chris, could you please give us more of a heads up this year when you plan the TTMI Fantasy Hockey League? I would love to participate. By the way, I don't think that I've ever mentioned this superstar, but I did win one of the third man in. There were only two this year. I won the third man in Fantasy Hockey League this year. I believe I have that. I think I'm remembering that correctly. I did.
I'd have to go back and look. I was so bad, I don't even remember who won.
Yeah, this guy probably wants to join just so he could beat up on you.
Right. Well, that's easy enough to do.
All right, I promise. I promise I will give people more of a heads up.
And, literally, you know, like this year will be easier because we already have a set start date, not the kind of a when is the season going to start. So, we'll make it more well-known for sure.
Hey, Block, what is the real story behind Brandon Bolig's mysterious disappearance in April when he was sent to Rockford and never showed up there? Did he choose not to report? Were the Hawks hiding him for salary cap reasons? Oh, gosh. He was sent to Rockford, but he wasn't really sent to Rockford. And that happened a couple of times this year. And the Blackhawks just really left Ted Dent in a bad spot, in my opinion. You know, I mean, that was the night before the NHL trade deadline. And, yeah, that was Brandon Bolig was sent to Rockford because the Blackhawks needed to clear up a roster spot. And he was not supposed to be recalled until after the trade deadline. And then after the game, when myself and the Rockford Register Star guy, Reed Schreck, went down to talk to Ted and we asked, the question was actually asked by the Register Star. I got heat for this, like you wouldn't believe, but I didn't ask the question. I'm the one that spread the word, but I didn't, although I would have asked the question if Reed hadn't. But, Teddy, I don't know if he expected, he expected the question, whether, you know, they should have. The Blackhawks just didn't think that it would be a blip on the radar. I don't know, but it certainly became a literal overnight sensation to the point where they had to recall him right away. And the funny thing about that was that had they left Brandon Bolig there until the trade deadline passed, let's say the Ice Hogs would have made the playoffs. If they would have left Brandon Bolig on the Ice Hogs roster another 3 hours or so, whatever it was, then Brandon Bolig would have qualified for the Rockford Ice Hogs postseason. But since they recalled him right away, because it became, you know, like, what the hell's going on here? You sent this guy to Rockford, but you didn't really send him. And that's something that a lot of teams do, but it doesn't make news like that, you know, where a guy's not there. The thing about it was, if Brandon Bolig would have just taken the ride out to Rockford and sat in the stands and not played, it would have never been a story. But since he never went, and, you know, you're there and, you know, you're looking around, you don't see Brandon Bolick, you start asking questions, people are like, I don't know, I haven't seen Brandon Bolick. You know, it because, you know, you ask the coach and he's not prepared to answer the question, that, you know, no one gave him a prepared answer, which I would suspect it'll be different. You know, one of the things that'll be different this year, but yeah, that's the story there. I think I answered that question. Chris, this is a question about Dylan Olsen. Chris, on multiple occasions on your show, you've alluded to there being specific reasons why Dylan Olsen's progress has slowed and how he's currently one of – I'm like looking sideways. I'm trying to talk into the mic and look sideways at the other monitor. And I'm wearing my glasses, so I've got like a glare here. All right, that'll work. On multiple occasions on your show, you've alluded to there being specific reasons why Dylan Olsen's progress has slowed and how he's not currently one of the Blackhawks' top prospects. I don't think I ever said that. But whatever. I'm curious if you could share what those reasons are more specifically. I have not seen you mention these anywhere else on your site. I may have missed it, though. Just curious. Rick. Specific reasons why Dylan Olsen's progress has slowed, or I guess he's basically asking, Dylan Olsen had a difficult year. You know, you'd think after playing 25 games in the NHL that you wouldn't slide down to the third pair in Rockford. And really not, you know, the funny thing was, you know, Ryan Stanton was the number one guy in Rockford all year long, but had there been, like, let's say a few injuries on the Blackhawks blue line, as bad as Dylan Olsen was, if in February the Blackhawks needed a defenseman, the Blackhawks weren't going to recall Ryan Stanton because he was in his contract year. They would have recalled Dylan Olsen. That's just the way. And those guys know that. I mean, the players in Rockford know that there's an order at which guys, if someone's needed, there's an order at which guy's going to get called next. So they know that. Certain ones do. Well, I would say that in the off season, hopefully Dylan Olsen improves his nutrition. He's got to learn how to – I mean, if he's not going to learn how to cook, he's got to learn how to eat better. He's got to improve his conditioning. And I think that he needs to come in with an attitude of, where he's not going to let – I mean, he's got to take what's his, I guess is the best way to put it. You know, I mean, he's not – I don't know what his ceiling is anymore at this point. I think He's a NHL defenseman. He's a steady rear guard that'll give you an honest 15 minutes every night. Stay at home defensive defenseman. You're probably looking at a guy on the third pair, but he's got to come in with a better. I mean, it's not like he has a bad attitude but he's got to grow up and just, you know. I mean, he's a big kid that can dominate, you know, or control his end of the ice when he wants to, and he's got to want to more. You know, I think that's the biggest thing that you got to look for him. But yeah, those are some things that he needs to work on. And his father needs to shut the fuck up. Chris, why do you think the Hawks didn't retain Martin St. Pierre? I wasn't sure we'd be able to keep him, though I was hopeful MSP would stay in Rockford since he chose to come back last year for a second go-around with Rockford. Seems like he's the perfect fit for the team, both offensively and as a mentor for the young kids. Your thoughts? Well, Martin St. Pierre left because he got an offer – offered a two-way deal from Montreal, and that's what he wanted. I think Martin St. Pierre knows he's going to be in the AHL, but he certainly wants to be somewhere where there's an opportunity. And Marc Bergevin gave him that, offered him that opportunity, and he went for it. And he's also a Canadian kid. He's going to play in Hamilton, which that's closer to home. And it's certainly a blow, but the Ice Hogs, the Blackhawks are being forced now really to turn the page on an era of prospects. This era, and Kyle Beach included, Ben Smith, Jeremy Moore, and Brandon Peary, these guys are either going to step up or show you that they're on the doorstep of stepping up and making contributions at the NHL level, or you got to move on and start developing new guys. I mean, you can't sit around and wait for guys forever. Kyle Beach will get another year because he's a first-round draft pick, and that's just the way the hockey business works. Is it fair? Does he deserve it? Doesn't matter. He's a former first-round draft pick. I'm sure if they get offered something for him in the interim that, they'll probably move on. But that's just business. But you gotta. I mean, there's turnover, and so that's just the way it is. I know we got some good ones here. Here's one. This is from Mike. Block, now that it's the off season, I'm looking. I don't know. Maybe this is a question for you, Superstar. I haven't been able to read lately. Although I take that back. Now that it's the off season, I'm looking for some great reading material for the weekend, sitting out near the water in Lake Geneva. Any good books out now or soon to be coming? Well, I do know Bobby Orr's book is coming out, but that's not till the fall. You can go and pick up this Random House Publishing, The Year of the Chicago Blackhawks. Shameless plug. Thanks for the folks over there. I don't know. I really have. I mean, I've got a mountain of books that I want to read. I will say this. This has nothing to do with hockey, but I know that we have a lot of listeners, or some listeners anyhow, that are either current or former professional wrestling fans. There is a book out now, and most people, when I say the name, they would be like, whatever, I'm not going to read that. But I'm telling you right now, former WWF, WWE wrestler Bob Holly, also was called Hardcore Holly, he's got a book out. It came out earlier this year. It's called The Hardcore Truth, The Bob Holly Story. It's co-written with Ross Williams, but The Hardcore Truth, The Bob Holly Story. If you were a wrestling fan in the mid to late 90s, especially, you have to read this book. You have to read this book. It is so awesome. I mean, you get a lot of, Bob Holly's out of the business. He's not looking for a job. He doesn't think that he's got one more go around. He was a mid-carder. He acknowledges that he was a mid-carder, and that's what he was. He doesn't have an agenda with the book. It wasn't edited by the WWE, which is what a lot of books of WWE guys are. They're edited maybe by WWE or maybe by, someone, saying, hey, I don't want to piss off WWE. So it's sort of filtered. Some things are filtered out. This one is not. And it's a terrific book. And, I mean, so much stuff from behind the scenes. It's great. Phenomenal chapter on steroids in professional wrestling. I would definitely pick that up if you're interested. That's something you're interested in. Hockey, I don't know. But this is the one I was looking for. This is a long email, but I'm not going to read it. But basically, this guy is basically commenting about, Chris Chelios, first ballot Hall of Famer. And here again, we have a question or sort of a commentary about why is Steve Larmer not in the Hall of Fame? We've talked about this before. Steve, I love Steve Larmer. I love him. I absolutely love him as a player. Part of, you know, fond memories of that Savard, Secord, Larmer line as a kid growing up in the Chicago Stadium and watching those guys. And, you know, and it's like Blackhawks fans of the 80s know. It's like, I mean, you can't just wipe the Edmonton Oilers of the 80s off the globe and do over those seasons. But if you could, the Blackhawks would have won a cup in that era. I mean, the Edmonton Oilers were too good. And the Hawks did not match up well against the Oilers. They did not match well up against. I mean, it would be like, you know, it's sort of somewhat of a comparison. I guess now it would be maybe the Blackhawks and the Blues. Maybe that's somewhat of a comparison, although the Blues don't have a guy like Dennis Savard yet anyhow. But, I mean, you're talking about you have, you know, good teams, but the Blackhawks did it. But, I mean, the point of Steve Larmer, so good. I mean, really, really good player. But my point has always been, and I know Steve Ludzik, friend of the show, and we're going to get Ludzik on here in a few weeks. He's got something coming up in Canada we want to talk about. But, you know, I know that Ludzik, you know, advocates for his buddy Steve Larmer, and I respect that. But it's not the really, really good Hall of Fame. You know, it's the greatest players in the game Hall of Fame. And Steve Larmer, quite frankly, wasn't one of the greatest players. You know, he was a really good player on a lot of teams, but he was never the standout player on any team. And you got to be the standout player, or you got to have the longevity. You got to have those milestone marks. And, you know, Larmer got close to, you know, to the consecutive game streak, but he didn't get it. So that counts against him. You know, he didn't get to 500 goals. You know, his career was cut short in his mid-30s because of injuries. You know, you can only go with what you have. And, you know, I don't like saying it. I don't like, you know, but that's the reality. He's not a Hall of Famer. And I don't, you know, anybody who tries to tell you he is just, you know, either they won't let go or excuse that. You know, like if the kid in me, you know, was speaking, then I'd probably try to make a case for Steve Larmer of the Hall of Fame too. But, you know, it's not the really, really good, you know, player Hall of Fame. It's the greatest players. That's what it should be. It should be the greatest players and nothing else. So, no, he's not a Hall of Famer. Do you have anything to say to that?
I was trying to think of an answer to that, and I drew a blank. Because I agree with you, without looking at the, you know, having the numbers in front of me, once again, like you said, the kid in me is saying, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer. You know, but we talked about this. If you have to think about it without saying yes right away, then it's a no.
Yeah, that's the way I go for any Hall of Fame, whether it's, you know, any sport, professional wrestling, anything. It's like, if you know that sport, now it's one thing if you don't know the sport, but if you don't know the sport, you don't know the history of it, you're not someone that's, you know, has a great deal of knowledge about something, then you shouldn't be, you know, you shouldn't be participating in the conversation anyhow. But if you're someone like us on the topic of hockey, it's not a debate. If you have to be debated into the Hall of Fame, you're not a Hall of Famer. It's you know, give me a name right then and there, either in or not. There shouldn't be any debating. Once you start getting into debating, then like you're really cheapening the Hall of Fame. You know, it's something that is earned and deserved, not campaigned for. At least that's the way it should be, anyhow. All right. Got another Steve Larmer question here at the bottom of this whole thing. It's basically, well, I'll ask you this question, you're a superstar, and I won't talk over you until I disagree with something you say. Basically, what he's asking is, looking back, and would history be different if the Blackhawks had not let Steve Larmer, Chris Chelios, and Jeremy Roenick, and Eddie Belfour go? Would the Blackhawks of the mid '90s won a Stanley Cup? And how would history be different? And this is actually a good. Well, first answer that question.
You know, I don't know if it would be really different. I mean, obviously, the downfall is you're talking about really the start of the downfall of the franchise when all those guys had departed and kind of changing over to the, you know, Bernie Nickel, Doug Gilmore, Tony Amani really stepping up at that time, air. But you got to remember, at that time, you had teams like the Colorado Avalanche coming into their own. You had the Detroit Red Wings being, you know, ever dominant. Do I think if they keep all those guys, do the Hawks win the Cup? Probably not. You know, obviously you'd say that they would have stayed more competitive for, you know, a longer period of time. But if you try to tell me that the Hawks win a Stanley Cup by keeping those guys, I'd probably disagree with that.
Well, you know, we'll move along. The second half of that, of his commentary, kind of commentary question is, it's actually really good. I wish I would write something about, you know, this. And I've actually talked to people about it, you know, ever since the Hawks won this cup. I mean, how would history had been different had Roenick re-signed in 96 and played out his entire career in Chicago? Now, that's a big if because, like, who – or, you know, played until, you know, that time that guys like Daniel Alfredson and Ray Bourque and stuff, like – nobody plays with one team forever, seemingly anymore. But you know what I'm saying. Playing the 80% of his career,
that second contract. You know, if you figure that second contract depending on the length, if he would have resigned, you know, hypothetically, let's say he plays 80% of that second contract with the Hawks before he moves on.
Well, his point here, you know, is if – oh, my God. I hope – superstar, we have a phone caller. Hold on, phone caller. If like, Roenick had played his whole career in Chicago, if Chelios had played his whole career in Chicago, I guess basically what he's trying to get to is, would the Blackhawks as a franchise been in such bad shape in this city and that, you know, such drastic maneuvers would, you know, like Rocky Wirtz stepping in and taking the team away from Peter Wirtz when it was – you know, it was supposed to go to him. John McDonough coming in. Would the Blackhawks have been in such bad condition that all these things that wound up happening ended up happening? Now, would they have had the first pick? Would they have had the third, you know, a couple of third round number three picks, you know, to either screw up with Cam Barker or hit a home run with Jonathan Toews? You know, I mean, would have all of these things happened? Because, I mean, quite frankly, and I've said this before, if we talked about in 2010 with, the perfect storm, had Dale Talon, this can't be emphasized enough, Had Dale Tallon drafted James Van Riemsdyk and Phil Kessel instead of Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, none of this happens. And John McDonough and Rocky Wirtz aren't geniuses. They can put all the home games they want on TV. They don't have two cups.
No, they don't.
You know, I don't know. That's a larger debate for another time. We're running late, but why do people call and then hang up right away? We just had two people call and then hung up right away. Am I doing something wrong?
Probably. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. It's probably you.
It is probably me. That's the theme of my life. It is probably me. All right, if you're still listening, call. I won't say hold on. Just call, and I'll pick you up, and you'll win a book. But you only got like a minute, because I got to go. You have a lot of crap to do today. Oh, yeah, so I'm looking forward to not sleeping on the floor this weekend. I'm really looking forward. Actually, the next 2 weekends, I don't have to sleep on the floor.
Well, you know, that's a positive, I guess.
I think I'm a little concerned, though, because Rutu is, you know, he's going to go over to my parents' house, and she's got the big dogs, and, you know, he likes to boss those dogs around, and, you know, just a little concerned that they may step on him. Because that's, you know, he's at that stage now where I think he's thinking maybe that he's, you know, he's doing better than he really is. Like, I'm looking at him right now. He's passed the fuck out. He's like, wake me up when this is over. All right. We're going to go. We'll do this again pretty soon. I've got a lot more emails here. We could probably do another hour, but we're not going to do another hour. Oh. You have anything else that you want to talk about? Anything you want to ask me? Do you have a question?
No. No, I figure I'm with you for the next, you know, after tomorrow, for the next 4 days. So I got plenty of time to, if I come up with anything to ask you.
All right. I guess that's it then. I'm on kind of hiatus right now, so unless, like, there's major breaking news that I need to do a write-up about, there's probably not going to be anything written on the Third Man In for at least a week or so. At least a week, probably a couple. But we'll see. People will not leave me alone. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. Like, I'm working on big things. Like, big stuff. Not the typical 1,900-word post that I do. Anyway, thethirdmanin.com, puckchatter.com, blogtalkradio.com/thethirdmanin is where you can find all of these shows. Every single one of them ever is there. So if you really get bored, really feeling self-loathing, you can go back and listen to all of those. And also iTunes. You can check us out on iTunes. You can subscribe and come right to your iPod or whatever. You don't have to. You have no effort whatsoever. You get us. All right, Superstar. That is about it. Say goodbye to these people.
Goodbye, people.
All right. I think we're definitely going to do a show next week. I just decided. More emails next week. We'll be back. Maybe we'll get someone who went to the Hawks convention to tell us about how much it sucked. That'll be fun. All right, everybody, that's it. Good night.
I've just seen a face I can't forget, the time or place where we just met. She's just a girl for me, and I want all the world to see we've met. Had it been another day, I might have looked the other way, and I'd have never been aware. But as it is, I'll dream of her tonight. La da 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 da. Falling, yes I am falling, and she keeps calling me back again. I have never known the like of this. I've been alone and I have missed things and kept out of sight. One of the girls were never quite like this. Da 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 da. Falling, yes I'm falling, and she keeps calling me back again. Calling me back again. I've just seen a face I can't forget the time or place where we just met. She's just a girl for me, and I want all the world to see we've met. Na na na. Falling, yes I'm falling, and she keeps calling me back again. Falling, yes I'm falling, and she keeps calling back again. Oh, falling, yes I'm falling, and she keeps calling me back again.
I'm out there, Jerry, and I'm loving every minute.
What's the worst thing that can happen?
Well, you'd be embarrassed and humiliated in front of a large group of people and have to walk out in shame with your tail between your legs.
Yeah, so?
Yeah, I see what you mean. I forgot who I was dealing with.
Johnny always says you can just screw so much and drink so much.
Whoa, baby! Let's get fucking like a monkey!